This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce. Today, the intent is the universality of revelation. This is one of those things that has become kind of a code word, revelation. People speak of the revealed religions and mean something particular by revelation. What they mean is not a universality. They mean a very singular revelation. Usually when people consider the revealed religions, they consider what they call revealed truths, truths that cannot be arrived at by any other means. You had to be there, the notebook, or you missed it. Or you have to trust somebody who was there, purportedly with a notebook, and that's the only way. Once it's done once, it's over with. In that worldview, God is a very, very stern schoolmaster who doesn't repeat himself very often, if at all. You have to get it, or you miss it. People look at anything involving Christianity, Scripture, they look at it with that worldview, as if this were closed. It's a closed book. There's only so many scriptures. They were all written one time. And the book's closed. The canon's set. Gnostics have never held to that. Irenaeus Solon made fun of them by saying that one is not considered mature till one has written one's own gospel. He called such things enormous fictions. Always imagine Bishop Irenaeus of Lyon as having a funny voice. Makes it much more amusing to read. Well, he was a member of the Proto-Orthodox camp arguing for four gospels. Because, of course, there are four directions, four winds. Should be four gospels, of course. Well, Gnostics weren't that concerned with dead religion. Religion that happened at one point in history, and all we can do now is kind of look back and read accounts of people that were closer to that time, and it's all we got. Faith in someone else's faith, whether it be some ancient author or more recent one. But when we look around the world, even people who put their faith in other people's faith because they were reportedly at least disciples of disciples, when they look around the world and see what people claim is their faith, even they don't put their faith in very many people's faith. Why would the ancient world be any different? It isn't as though everyone today gets everything completely, understands it, has some firm grasp of things. Even basic statistics, simple logic, fundamentals of science are becoming rarer and rarer, if they ever were all that common. And so, why would a bunch of disciples who in pretty much every gospel account is at least one that doesn't quite get it. Even amongst the apocryphal gospels, the Gnostic texts, if even in their own reports there are those who don't get it, why should we think that everyone got it at the time? There's no reason to think so. Or that the only way we can get it, understand it, is through their understanding. It's not necessarily the case. We don't want to eschew their understanding, kick it out of the wayside, and just say, oh, that's old. So many people do today. Because what they were attempting to understand is the same thing that we are attempting to understand. What they are as human beings is what we are as human beings. And even though millennia has passed, language has changed, worldviews have changed, we can still connect, still see. And how we can see is through our own connection to what they were connected to. We can see the depths of what was revealed to them through our own revelation. And this is not revelation as God dictating to scribes, carving in stone tablets, sending angels to whisper in camel traders' ears. That is how we think of revelation. And those stories, they capture us, because a part of us knows that they are true, that these individuals, who tradition says, were presented with some written text or some easily discernible thing. They had some experience. Something was shown them. To reveal is, in a sense, to unveil, to pull back the veil, the curtain, to see what is behind. There's so many veils in our lives, in our minds, in our world. It's a wonder we can see it all. Often, I wonder if we do. To pull back any of these veils, the psychological filter keeps us from seeing something clearly, reveals something that is a revelation. To have an understanding deepen, become gnosis, so that we see the world and ourselves differently. Perceive what is true a little more readily. That is a revelation. That is the key, core of revelation. The Greek word for truth is aletheia. It's actually in one of those unwords like agnosis, agnostic. And it means the unhidden, the unveiled, the unobscured. And the truth shall set us free. What is unveiled, unhidden, what is revealed will set us free. And that is the path to liberation. Mauna Kea tradition recognized different messengers of the light, those who came to this world with a particular mission. Mission to teach, to convey, to give to us means of achieving liberation, of finding the light, seeking it. They came as revealers, came armed with revelation. And the light we can see shining through the veils, it attracts our eyes, and we are called to them. We move to them. I'd be called to different ones at different times in our lives, or we may simply have the richness of one messenger's message slowly unveiled and revealed to us over the course of our life. These are all conveyors of deep truths, ways for us to achieve the truth. Seek the truth that sets us free. This is how we know it is the truth, because you can find it, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you can find it. It is there within you and all around you. But it is easier, perhaps it is only possible, with aid. Through accepting the generous aid, the aid given to us by these messengers of the light, do not simply disregard them, because there are human beings who are hateful, ignorant, and use the names and words of messengers for their own aims. Well, the devil can quote scripture. And if we allow the archons of the world, the powers that would hold us in sway, that would hold us as prisoners of our ideas, that would keep us covered in veils, then we will ignore the messengers because some of their followers, or some of those who claim to be followers. For we will think that we know what they said. That's, after all, the easiest way to neutralize the powerful message that they bring, to simply know what they said. This is the status of Christianity, most of the world. People know. This was all argued about long ago. People with power then made decisions. And this is the only way we could possibly understand it, and we've got it. We can make cartoon versions of Christianity, as I saw once in pamphlets that were being distributed to Arabic speakers, so they could just read a page of a cartoon and get the essence of Christianity. Well, you can't. The essence is not in systems, is not in that type of knowing. And that arrogant, dismissive thinking that one knows. Because that is not gnosis. Probably doesn't even qualify as episteme. More of a pseudo-episteme. Pretend factual knowledge. To seek gnosis of messengers is to finally be open to hear their message. As Mani called them, they are messengers of the light. They don't bring words. They bring illumination. And this is expressed to us in words. It's a lesson for today, said Zoroaster, never wrote anything down. The disciples wrote it down. And this is the way the messengers. They tend not to write things down. They are trying to express something that has no form in the world. Because they are trying to pull back veils, unveil, reveal. It is those who come after them, those for whom they have served this purpose, who then try to preserve some of this for those who will come after. They try to express secondarily this process that cannot be expressed, can be conveyed only, perhaps, in the story or in an insight, in a profound moment of gnosis, expressed in symbol, in word, in story. And yet, we do not, particularly in our contemporary age, want to seek someone to follow. We do and we don't. Part of us does and part of us will resent it. Part of us will make false prophets and gurus and false gods. Another part of us will try to make feet of clay. And if those can't be found and made, then they will construct straw men to shoot their arrows at. and take down. But all this is simply about our human relationship to the world and to ourselves. The gospel for today may strike many as being odd in a Gnostic setting, talking about the Good Shepherd. We don't want to be sheep. That would be bad. We resent all of that, particularly the agricultural kind of metaphors, ones that make us into animals, sheep and goats. If we had to choose, we'd choose goats. Yeah, you know, they get around more. They're more independent. Not quite so dim-witted. Well, problem is that, you know, we don't want to be sheep. So often we are. When we are covered with those veils, things are obscured. And that is what we are. We may think that we are acting consciously, acting out of our own motive desires, but we're just a part of the herd. It's rare to realize, to do, to be more. This is not a, you know, star-bellied Sneech us versus them kind of thing. We all do this. We all fall into the comfortable habits of mind that make us sheep. And we all need a good shepherd. We are capable so much. We are also capable of so little. Potential is merely potential. If it stays potential, it's nothing. In pursuing our liberation, pursuing gnosis, pursuing true freedom, we must seek aid. We must be careful, must discern. Not all aid offered is really aid. Or really aid towards liberation. If it looks like it's what you want, pretty good chance that it isn't what you want. The world of marketing, salesmanship, there are many things that are sold to us. We are formed into consumers to go forth and pick and choose. And, you know, if it doesn't come in the right color, then, well, we'll go somewhere else. And if we do that, with spiritual paths, teachers, messengers of the light, we're not paying attention. We are trying to be their shepherd when they are ours. We want to herd them. We are really uppity sheep, trying to tell the shepherd what to do. And that's our state most of the time. And that, for those who are even less familiar with these animal metaphors than I, the origin of the sheep and goats story. Goats do tell the shepherd what to do, where to go. They're very uppity. And usually one needs a goat in amongst the sheep because goats are not so easily led and not likely to run off a cliff or other things if the sheep start going there. It's a good balance point. So we need our goat nature, our skepticism, our discernment. If that's all we've got, we haven't got much. We need to be willing to see value where there is value. See light where there is light. The Gospel, John tells us, come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. There is riches. Richness of light, richness of truth, is not easily come by, is not immediately discerned. One must be led by a good shepherd. Part of us, in ourselves, acts as a good shepherd. Speak of the indwelling Christ, and he is there, and the shepherd is there. But there is so much more. We will always at first resent the shepherd's crook. First reaction will be to bleat, to whine, complain. Well, to be honest, to curse profanely is probably most common. And only perhaps after that realize that the crook saved us from falling off the cliff. That's human nature. Whenever there is interference, hey, what are you doing? This is me. This is my thing. I'm completely autonomous. And then there is the chorus, oh, well, thanks, afterwards. The embarrassed realization that, gee, maybe I didn't know everything at the time. Maybe I wasn't the shepherd. Maybe I was the sheep at the moment. We can serve each other in that role. Latin is pastor, the shepherd, pastoral. We can serve each other in the pastoral role. Have a gentle reminder and nudge to aid each other. There are those who serve in a more deeper sense in that way for us. And this is not to be thought of as a religious thing. We see this in all aspects of our lives. The people we go to, am I making a mistake here? Check to see if we're about to head off a cliff. Try to get a preemptive hooking with a crook. And this is how we help one another on our path. For the great shepherds, the truly good shepherd, the one who gives his life for the sheep, one who truly opens the way, the messenger of the light, bringing the light. Greatest of these messengers in the West is Christ. And although it is hard for us to see, the image of Christ has been tarnished over those years. But if we will take the cloth, take the polish, spend the time, we can see, we can know, we can receive part of that message. We can have the truth revealed to us through the light. It is a hard way, but there are no easy ways. Follow Christ is to follow deliberation, not to some abstract salvation. So may we have our ears open and our eyes open for the universality of revelation, to see what is being revealed to us. What has been revealed to us, to see what is before our face, so that there is nothing that will not be revealed to us, as the Gospel of Thomas says. May the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us, and may with us always. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.org. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.